say this morning as an introduction, but I don't think any words would adequately convey my thoughts. And some of you have suggested that I may be getting in this pulpit too fast, but let me tell you, this is my life. This is what I live for. And if I'm not able to do this, then okay, I've got problems. But we're going to watch it carefully. The doctor says things are going to be slow. I'm going to have good days. I'm going to have bad days for a little while. But due to the fact that my heart has been corrected and everything is working like it's supposed to be working, the only place to go is up from here. Improvement is on the way. And the doctor said that all of a sudden, one day, about 2 months from now, I'm going to wake up and I said, man, I feel great. So I'll still have to take it easy and control myself, but we'll be all right. This morning, I want to talk about a subject which I think I'm pretty sure is going to touch everybody here, because I know it affects me. This is one of the things I deal with on a regular basis, and if I do, I know it probably should bother you as well. What is the matter with me? And a lot of times we struggle with the fact that God gives us more than we think we can handle. It's always there. This is a problem that we all face. And so when we know that when a person obeys the gospel and becomes a Christian, that Satan begins a full frontal, rear, sideways, bottom, topside assault. In other words, it's an all-out assault against the Christian, trying to get the Christian to give up, to stop serving the Christ, and basically to keep them out of heaven. And that's what Satan does, because when we become a Christian, we have the hope of heaven, and we have the opportunity to spend eternity with God in heaven. And Satan doesn't like that. So he's going to do whatever he can to keep us away from that. And some of the methods that he is going to employ is going to be effective. And so we need to think about that. He's looking for every opportunity to cause you to fail in your Christian faith. And it doesn't take a lot of imagination just to look around and see how many people who are very weak in the faith, who are not very strong in the faith. And as a result, they're easily swayed away from the truth of God's word, and they return back to worldliness. And so we should be aware of this fact. Yet we also seem to be overwhelmed with everything going on around us. There's a lot happening, whether it's with doctors or whether it's on the job, whether it's at school, in our neighborhoods. You flip on the TV set and you see all sorts of inhumanity taking place around this world, and just a lot of problems that we all face from time to time. And we realize that temptations are pressuring us probably more than ever before. And it's always been there, and God said it would be there. But yet it always bothers us that we seem to be being attacked more and more for our faith. And we question that sometimes. We even feel weak at times. And we do give in to temptation. I mean, we may not be as bad as some people out there, and we might try and justify ourselves by comparing ourselves with those kind of people. But you know what? We still give in to temptation, even though we don't want to. And we know that God has told us that he will not give us more than we can bear. You know, 1 Corinthians 10:13. He says that he's going to be there, and he's not going to allow us to be tempted more than we are able. But yet, that passage also tells us he's not going to take away the temptation just so that we don't succumb to it. It's still going to be our choice. We still have to make that decision to say, I am not going to give in to Satan. I am not going to give in to this lust. I am not going to fail God. And so that's what we have to do. We still have that ability to do it. The question is, will we take that ability? See, as we said, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure. Now, he's going to give us a door of opportunity. Every time temptation comes our way, God puts a door there. In fact, a lot of times, he kind of puts a sign above that door. Like we have this little green sign right up here says exit. There's a reason it's there. Well, partly because the law says it's got to be a lighted sign. But still, there's a door of opportunity. If we have a problem in here, that is the way of escape. So God provides that for us. And we must understand that. And we know that verse is there. And we are trying to believe it, but all we can question about ourselves is, if God has provided this for us and given us the way of escape, what is wrong with me? Why do I still sin? Why do I continue to sin against God? And I know for some of us, it breaks our heart that we still do it. But why? I mean, that's a question we all have to ask ourselves, and we all have to come to realize. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. I'm sure you felt this way, because I know I feel this way all the time. So we're going to turn this around and look at some possible reasons that God allows us to have more than we can handle. He wants to overwhelm us, and we're going to discuss some of those things this morning. First of all, our faith needs to grow. That's one thing when you have more temptation than you think you can bear. Your problem is your faith is very weak. And so our faith needs to grow. We cannot stay stagnant. We have to grow our faith. When we were first introduced to Jesus and his gospel, we learned these. We learned the basics of these things. We learned that we were sinners because of our own lust that we read about in James chapter 1. It's because of the sin that we do in our own hearts that causes us to sin. James 1:14, but each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. At first, this did not bother us, and for many, it still does not bother them. In other words, the fact that people sin, it has no effect on them. And when we were starting out, before we became a Christian, it didn't bother us any either that we were living in sin. But when we come to learn about God and what he's done for us and how our sin has been in opposition to God and he's not pleased with it, we decided to do something about it. We learned about God, and then we decided to correct our ways. We learned about his desire to be worshiped and obeyed. You know, John 4:21, God is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. We learn that God is not pleased with our sins. God cannot abide sin. He cannot tolerate sin. He will not fellowship sin. And he will not fellowship those who continue in sin. That's despite what this world teaches everybody. Oh, don't worry. God loves you. He'll love you despite your faults and everything. Well, yes, God does love us despite our faults, but he doesn't want us to stay in those faults. We've got to get out of those faults. So we learn that our sins have separated us from God. Isaiah 59:2 is an excellent passage there. We learn that we cannot get into heaven with our sin. We have to be rid of our sin. And we also learn that we are unable to cleanse ourselves. That's something that we have to learn to rely upon God to do. And he provided that for us. God stepped in and offered his grace in the form of Jesus Christ through his gospel. Jesus came and died for our sins, shedding his perfect blood. Everything we know about God, we've had to learn. And little by little, we learned how to trust him. You know, our baby faith needs to mature. And you might have baby faith even if you've been around the church for 20 or 30 or 40 years. You might have that baby faith, and you need to mature. Hebrews chapter 5 talks about that we all need to mature in Christ. And one of the best ways to grow our faith is through trials. We understand that. See, in James 1, verses 2 through 4, it says, "Consider it at all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." In Romans 3, 3 through 5, a very similar passage to that. "And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us." So the trials started coming, and they are still coming for all of us. Some might be stronger than others, but they're still coming. You know, consider David, who one day fought Goliath the giant. 1 Samuel chapter 17, we read that story. And David needed to grow. But David didn't start with Goliath, you know, this giant of a man, this great warrior. No, David started another way. God showed David he would be there with him when he fought the lion, and one day he fought a bear. See, when they saw this little boy walking up, says, I'll take this giant on, where no other men were willing to do so. This little boy came up, says, I'll do it. Well, what makes you think you can do it? Well, God was with me when I came, the lion came up, and I slew the lion. I slew the bear. This guy's chump change. So that's what he says. And so he said, my God is going to protect me. So David's faith grew till he could stand before the giant Philistine, confident that the same God who helped him fight the lion and the bear would be with him as he faced Goliath. And we have to ask ourselves, we have Goliaths that we have to face. Do we understand that God has our back and will be there for us? Another thing we need to understand is our self-reliance needs to diminish. Yes, we need confidence in this life. We do need a strong self-esteem, and most of the time we do feel, I can do it myself, I don't need any help, I don't need someone to hold me by the hand and direct me along the way. But yet, that's where we become wrong, because we're focusing upon ourselves and not where our focus should be. Don't we sometimes feel like I'm on top of the world? A lot of times we do. I mean, things may be going just a little bit right. Man, I'm on top of the world. And how did I get here? Well, I didn't have no help getting here. I did it myself. And that's what we question about that. I did it all by myself. And yet, sometimes when we fall and fail, someone trying to give you a little encouragement, it usually turns out to be kind of some stupid statement, but it's all pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, or hang in there, baby. Suck it up. No pain, no gain. Keep plugging away. You know, when we're down, those words just are very lame, and we recognize that. In other words, these people are saying, do it yourself. But see, that's the wrong advice. We're not supposed to do it ourselves. And that's what we need to learn. This may work in the physical world and our place in it, but in the spiritual realm, it is different. What we need to do is remove ourselves from the equation and put God in His rightful place. We need to learn to be able to say, as Paul did, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's the confidence that we must have. Throughout the New Testament, Paul talks about this confidence. The Hebrew writer talks about, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness. And we need that. And so we can through Christ. We can't do it from our own strength and ability and our own resolve. It must be through Christ that this takes place. And since it is through Christ that we do our spiritual work, let us put Him first in all things. And Colossians 1:18 says, He, Christ, is the head of the body, the church. And He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself might come to have first place in everything. When you're trying to pick yourself up and lift yourself up by your own bootstraps and do it yourself, where does Christ come in that equation? He doesn't. Where does God fit in? He doesn't. That's why we have to diminish ourselves. And Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7 says, Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. So you see, our own understanding gets us into trouble most of the time. We must recognize and acknowledge that God is greater than we are, and He needs to be obeyed. Like John, we need to say to ourselves, when he was speaking of Jesus, He must increase, but I must decrease. And that's what we all need to do. When we go through this life, we're always focusing upon ourselves. We're the center of attention. And guess what? It's not about me anymore. It is about God. It is about Christ. And that's where we need to step aside and let Christ take over. And we must do that. Now, the next point in all this, as we discuss these things, is we must recognize that God is rooting for you. He's in your fan club. Now, a lot of us may feel, well, I don't have much of a fan club. I think I have two in mine. But still, God is on your side. He's in your fan club. See, we learn a lot about God in the Scriptures. God is faithful, as we read there in 1 Corinthians 10:13. And God is long-suffering toward us. We read that in 2 Peter 3:15. He does not want us to fail. And 2 Peter 3:9, not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. And remember that God gave us everything we need to be successful. 2 Peter 1:3 says, Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. See, trials teach us that God is faithful. We learn that sometimes we cannot depend upon ourselves, but yet we can always depend on God. And no matter who knows and loves you, no one loves you more than God does. Now our human side says, wait a minute, my wife loves me, my children love me, my parents love me, or I have some good friends that love me. And it's hard for us to realize, but yet, who loves me more than any of them? Of course, God. Because God died for me. And so that should be very special for us to understand that. His love is the greatest love there is. And even though you may have others in your life who will be there for you, God has promised He will never fail you. We read that in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Let your character be free from the love of money, being content for what you have. For He Himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. In other words, God's in it for the whole game. He's not going to back out. He's not going to turn away. And here's the point of all this. We need to remember that God is the one to receive the glory. Whether you're aware of it or not, others watch you. And we do, as we talk in our class, we influence people. Whether good or bad, we influence people by our very disposition, by our nature, by the things we do, the things we say. And so we are an influence there. And if you claim to be a Christ follower, they're going to be watching you closely. One reason is because they want to see you fail. That way, they feel that, well, it's okay for me if I don't live up to God's standard, because here's this Christian over here not living up to God's standard. So it kind of puts a little salve on their hurt and pain, and then they think, well, I can just continue like I am. Don't let that happen, because they are watching you. You are a spectacle. And the problem is, you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be that person that the world is watching. We're to turn our light on. Let your light shine before men. That is what we're supposed to do. A lot of times we try and hide it under the bushel basket. But what kind of light does that shine? None at all. All right, so we learn that there's something different about those who know God personally. And you can see this by the way people live. Those who believe in God and trust God, they live different than those who trust in themselves. When we go through difficult things, God gives us the strength to do it. And we must recognize that. He gives us the strength we need. He's not going to do it for us. That he's going to put that in our ballpark. That's going to be up to us. But he gives us the strength and the confidence to be able to say no to Satan, to be able to resist the evil. And so people will notice that difference, and it makes them wonder why. And it does happen, maybe not always, but if you hang in there and do not deny your faith, do not deny what your belief in God is, and you survive and make it through, others are going to look at it and wonder what it is that you are so excited about in your faith. Sometimes they may even ask you why you are different. And believe me, personally, it's happened to me. They ask me why. I was a supervisor and working in the trucking company. And of course, dealing with union people can be very frustrating sometimes. And sometimes things don't always go as planned. And they may have noticed, how can you do that? You don't get all upset. I mean, all the other supervisors, if something went wrong, they'd start kicking things. They'd throw things. They'd scream. They'd holler. And they'd curse and stuff like that. Someone tells me there's a problem, I just walk out and fix the problem or deal with it, whatever needs to be done, without yelling, without screaming, without making a big commotion. And guess what? People notice that. They ask me why. Well, I have an inner peace that they don't have. And that's what God tells us we should have, the peace that passes all understanding, Philippians chapter 4. We should understand that. Jesus taught us to let our light shine so that others would glorify God. We're not to be doing it to be seen of men. Jesus talked about that in Matthew chapter 6. Talking about those who get in the marketplace and hold up their hands and issue the long prayers. No, they have their reward, the praises of men. No, we should be doing things so that God is glorified. Peter tells us, and the last part of 1 Peter 4:11, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Sure, we're going to suffer, but notice in 1 Peter 5:16, Peter says, but if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not feel ashamed, but in that name, let him glorify God. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20 says, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. our very being, everything that is about us, who we are, and that includes the human side, everything about us is to focus people on glorifying God. That's what we're supposed to be doing. You know, when we're with someone who is struggling, just be with them. Don't ever tell them, well, God will never give them more than they can handle. See, if God did that, what would we need God for? Honestly, what would we need God for if He never put these trials in front of us? We wouldn't. We wouldn't need God at all. And the point of this lesson is, we're dependent upon God. We have to be serving Him to the best of our ability. And we do need God every single day. And if it gets down to it, every hour, every minute, we need God. And He's there. He's in our corner rooting for us. He wants us to succeed. You know, that's something very special about God. He wants us to succeed. The people in this world, they don't care. Satan wants us to fail. Our brethren want us to succeed. And we should be hoping that each one of our brethren will succeed. And God is there leading the pep rally. He wants us to succeed as well. Now, we also have to keep in mind that God does not think like us. You know, we read that in Isaiah 55:8-9, where God says, "My ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." So God is not like man. He is different. But when we can get on the same wavelength as God, when we can get our minds focused on giving Him the glory and recognizing we do that not from the food of our lips through our mouths, but we give Him glory by our actions, by our behavior, by our faithfulness. That's how we give Him glory. And through our faithfulness, we can encourage others to be the same way. So hopefully, now you know why you struggle. Why you have to constantly ask yourself, why do I sin? Even though I know it's wrong, why do I continue to sin? Well, we've addressed that this morning. And we're going to sing an invitation song in just a minute and give you the opportunity that maybe you feel it's time to do a do-over, to start over, start fresh. And you just want to clean the slate and have all your sins washed away. And if you sin publicly, yes, we offer that forum for you to do so. If what you've done is in private, then go home and take it up with God yourself. And yet we also offer the opportunity, if anyone has not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, what they need to know is God is there rooting for you. He's provided you everything you need. He's provided the Savior. He's provided the way of salvation. He has provided the hope of salvation for each and every one of us. It is up to us to take advantage of what He has offered. This is what we call His grace and accepting His grace. So if you're subject to the invitation and you feel you need to make a change and get right with God and start out on a fresh step, we're going to invite you to come while together we stand and sing.